And this morning's talk is going to come from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So please do take a look at your Bibles and I will read it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, here we are. We've nearly made it. It's the end of 2020. And what a year it's been. And I don't know about you, but now's normally the time that I make some New Year's resolutions. But after the year we've had, I must admit, I've been tempted to say, why bother? Well, at least that's my excuse, because normally I don't keep them. So last year, I resolved to do some jogging and lose a bit of weight. But as you can see, it just didn't happen. But if any of you resolved last year to spend more time at home and less time in the office, well, congratulations, I think you nailed that one. But what I'd love this morning is to focus on three spiritual resolutions for 2021. Why? Well, because I think this is what the author of the Hebrews would want us to do. And our author knows we need to persevere with these resolutions. So this morning, we're going to think of these resolutions as a spiritual green cross code. Now, I know that sounds cheesy, but I pray it sticks in your head in the same way. So instead of stop, look, and listen, well, the three spiritual resolutions I'd love us to remember are look, look, and look, which will make up our 3 points today. So the first will be look to the Old Testament witnesses. The second will be look into your own heart. And the third will be look to the Lord Jesus. And why is this so important? Well, because the author has a big thing on his mind. So he wants the reader to endure to the end. We see this in verse 1 of our reading. It says, let us run with endurance the race that's been set before us. So the writer wants his readers to keep trusting Jesus no matter what, and to keep trusting Jesus to the end of their lives. Why? Well, because there's no prizes for initially coming to faith. I mean, we rightly celebrate conversions, baptisms. These are truly wonderful things. But the bigger celebration should be when someone finishes life trusting in the Lord Jesus. Because the single most important thing that matters to anyone in the end is, are you trusting in the Lord Jesus? Are you clinging on to him and the salvation he offers? And this is why this letter is an exhortation to keep going to the end. And we see it's an exhortation in chapter 13, verse 22. And through the letter, we learn a little about who he's writing to and why he writes to them. And I won't read these references out, but if you can this afternoon, do look them up. Or even better, why not spend some time, just sit down and read this whole letter through. So in chapter 5, verse 12, we see they've been Christians for some time. In chapter 10, 32 to 34, we learn they've suffered for their faith. In chapter 2, verse 1, we learn they must pay close attention to the gospel, lest they drift away from it. And in chapter 3, verse 7 to 4:11, we learn to be one of God's people. You must keep believing his promises. And then in chapter 10, 24 to 25, we learn that some had withdrawn from regular gatherings with Christians. And then finally, in chapter 10, verse 35 to 39, we learn that some had grown weary. Now, I wonder if any of you might be feeling like this at the end of the year we've had. You've been a Christian for a while. You've suffered for your faith. Or you're tempted to withdraw from regular gatherings with Christians. It's easy to say and do at the moment, isn't it? To say Zoom is a pain, it's just not the same. Or maybe you're feeling weary of 2020, weary of meeting online like this. You've just had enough. And maybe God's promises, well, they seem far off as we battle away in this world. They feel harder to believe than normal. Well, if some or all of this is you, then our writer knows you need an exhortation. He knows you need an encouragement. And this is exactly what we're given in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I think our writer would love for these exhortations to be our spiritual resolutions for 2021 and beyond. So let's look at our first point, our first resolution. Look to the Old Testament witnesses. This is in verse 1 of our reading. Please look down at the Bible. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, if you're like me and you've read Andrew Satch's great book, Dig Deeper, and I do recommend it, it's one that's really helped me to read my Bible better. Well, if you've read that book, you'll have this phrase ringing in your ears. Whenever you see a therefore, ask, what is it there for? And because our verse starts with one, it means it links back to chapter 11, a truly wonderful chapter in the Bible, which runs through Old Testament characters who've endured to the end. Some named, some nameless. These are the witnesses the author wants us to look to. Why? Because we need to see it's possible to endure to the end. And we need to see it's possible for people like us, people who are sinful, who have doubts, who don't feel strong, who've been rocked and challenged by the world around them. Yet by faith in God's future promise, they endured to the very end. They trusted God's word to them to the very end. And they looked forward to God fulfilling his promises. We see this in verse 13 of chapter 11. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." Then in verse 14, we see they are seeking a homeland. And in verse 16, we see they desired a better country, that is a heavenly one. "Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." All these saints died trusting God with his promise of a future kingdom. They didn't receive it, but they kept trusting to the end. And in verse 35 to 37, we read, "Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and caves of the earth." So why did these saints persevere? Because by faith, they trusted God that they might rise again to a better life. By faith, they trusted God that there was a better kingdom to come. And all of these saints were ordinary people, just like you and me. People who knew they had nothing special in and of themselves. People who knew they were weak but trusted that God was mighty. People who knew they were sinful and could only rely on God's grace. So the writer of Hebrews is saying to us, if you're having doubts, if you're not sure you can keep going, if you're feeling overwhelmed by daily death tolls, by the prospect of being locked down for a few more weeks, if you're wondering how you can keep going in the face of persecution, friends and family rejecting you because of your trust in the Lord Jesus, wondering whether you can continue living for God in this world, well, our writer would say, spend some more time in your Bible. Spend more time looking at these Old Testament witnesses. Read about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Rahab, Gideon, Daniel, so many more. And take heart. These weak and sinful saints were able to do it. They managed to keep trusting through all sorts of trials and challenges. Take heart. Many have gone before you that trusted God to the end. And take heart. They were trusting in the same God as you, trusting in the same promises of a glorious kingdom and resurrection life. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, if they can do it, if they can endure to the end, then you can too. Spending more time in the Old Testament, looking at these witnesses, learning more about their character and their faith, learning more of the power, nature, goodness, and trustworthiness of our God, learning more of his great plan to save a people for himself, for his glory, and seeing that by grace you yourself are caught up in this, seeing it's this God who loves you and who you serve. This will help you endure. This will help you keep going to the end. This is why looking to these witnesses, looking to the Bible, would be a great spiritual resolution to make for next year. But what might stop us from doing this, from making this a priority? Well, our writer gives us a helpful insight and recommendation. Please look down again at verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. So our writer wants us to look inside our hearts, to consider what's weighing us down, what's slowing us down in this race, what is pulling us from the Lord Jesus and his word. And what sin might we be clinging to which is slowing us down? And this is our second point. Look into your own heart. We're running a race. And we don't stop running until the Lord Jesus returns or calls us home. And running this race is the single most important thing in our lives. And whenever you run a race, if you're a serious runner, that is, you don't want to be carrying extra baggage. So I'm sure Usain Bolt wouldn't be quite so fast if I was sitting on his shoulders. In fact, he might not have made it off the start line at all, but I reckon it would have pulled in a few more viewers. But our writer is clear. We'll be carrying weight, or we might be clinging to sin that will slow us down. So as we enter a new year, it'd be a great time to look into our hearts, to do a spiritual MOT. This is something I started doing a few years ago, and I try to do it every few months. And I must admit, I do it around what stops me from sharing the gospel. But these verses have helped me to see, well, I need to think more broadly about my faith. So being a boring finance guy, I write it all into a spreadsheet. I spend time reflecting on the last few months and note down the things that hinder me from sharing the gospel. And then I spend time thinking about the reasons behind them. And I look to the Bible and I pray to the Lord to seek help in putting them to one side and help in persevering. And it's a really helpful exercise because it always reveals idols I have. An idol being something I've placed ahead of God in my life. And I think this is what the weights are. Good things given by God that I've turned into God things. And these weights, will they slow down my running? So things like being too busy with my job, or needing to complete a project on the house, or waiting to get the kids through term, or thinking through what school they'll go to, or being worried about my job security, or focused on my bonus. Now, I need to be clear, I'm not saying that any of those things, our work, our homes, our children's education, job security, earning a bonus, are bad things. But if we're not careful, we can become so tied up in them that they squeeze out God. We can become more focused on this kingdom than living for and trusting in the kingdom to come. So when I mentioned New Year's resolutions at the start, where did your heart first go? Was it towards the Lord Jesus and growing in your trust and faith of him? Or was it towards something else? And I think a great gauge of this is, what do we pray for? And again, I want to be careful here, as all areas of our lives matter to God, and he loves to hear from us. And in his kindness, there are many good and great things he's given us in the world: family, property, wealth, our children, our grandchildren. But do our prayers focus more on this kingdom and what we'd like God to do for us here? Or are they more focused on God, on his name being hallowed, on his kingdom coming? I think it's important that we get this balance right. And it's something I so often get wrong. I am constantly battling the attractiveness of the world. I'm often certain that I'm in control of my job, where I live, what I earn, my children's futures, and I push God to one side. I need to keep a careful watch on my heart. I need to work harder at being aware of the things that I'm focused on. Where's my thought life? What am I praying for? Am I praying? And I think looking to our hearts, making time to do this spiritual MOT, well, that would be a wonderful resolution to make. So over the New Year period, why not pray to our Father? Ask him, is there something taking your focus off Jesus? Is there something hindering your ability to run? Something you need to cast off or give away or let go of? Pray we'd be like Moses in chapter 11, verse 26 of Hebrews. Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. For by faith he knew the reward of enduring to the end far outweighed all the treasure of Egypt. Moses was convinced the reproach of Christ was better than all the wealth the mighty nation of Egypt had to offer. Take a close look at your heart and resolve to remove anything that's weighing you down and taking your focus off Jesus. But what about sin? We saw in verse 1, we must lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. So this is also a great thing to consider in your spiritual MOT. Are there sins you're struggling with? Hidden things in your heart, in your life, that you know they have to go. I know when I do my spiritual MOT, this is something that often changes. And it always needs work. So I work hard to stop one sin, and then I find that something else has crept in just as quick. I have to continually watch myself. As an example, this year through lockdown, I've noticed when I've been working at home and the kids have been at home, I've been really quick to get hot-tempered. I've lacked patience. I've lacked understanding. And that's with the ones that I'm supposed to love the most. And I know it's not godly. I need to ask the Lord Jesus to help me with this. But what about you? Consider your heart honestly. Are there any sins there? Now would be a great time to cast them off. Wouldn't it be great to look back at the end of next year, knowing they were put to bed? Because the problem with sin is it promises much but delivers death. And the longer we're conscious of sin but take no steps to remove it, the more it will slow down our running. Sin can leave us feeling like we don't belong at church, like we're letting others down. So we begin to pull away from the church gathering. Or we might be so burdened by guilt that we don't believe we can be forgiven, and we stop praying and communing with God, even though he still loves us. And even though for those who trust in Jesus, his promises still stand. However, it's really important to cast away sin. Don't let it pull you from the race. Do whatever it takes to cut it off. Jesus himself said we need to take extreme measures to deal with sin, to metaphorically cut off hands or gouge out eyes. So maybe you need to get rid of your smartphone to stop you looking at things you shouldn't. Maybe you need to stop sending those messages before it leads to sexual immorality. Maybe you need to stop watching horror films if it's fueling anger in you. Maybe you need to stop scrolling social media if it leads you to envy, or to stop posting if it leads you to pride. Do your spiritual health check. Ask the Lord to search your heart for anything grievous, and keep looking into your own heart. Because after all, our hearts are deceitful above all things. So resolve this year to look into your heart and to keep looking into it. Cast off any sin that's turning your focus from the Lord Jesus. Stay lean and light to give yourself every chance of enduring to the end. Look into your heart. Now, at this point, some of you might be thinking, well, this sounds like a lot of hard work. Look to the Old Testament witnesses, look into our hearts. We're saved by grace and not by works. And this is true. But these exhortations are here for our good. Whilst we know the Lord Jesus will not lose any that are his, Christian, be assured you are safe in his care. However, one of the ways God keeps us safe in his care is exhorting us to keep trusting, to use the means he's given us, to not be passive in the race we run. So it is true we're saved by grace, which is why the final exhortation is to look to the Lord Jesus, which is our third and final point, because the Lord Jesus provides us with grace upon grace. So it's the work of Jesus that assures us our sins are forgiven. It's the work of Jesus that assures us of our status in his kingdom. And to see where to look to Jesus, please look down at verse 2 in your Bibles. It says, "Look into Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God." Do you see why we're to look to the Lord Jesus? Because he's the founder and perfecter of our faith. It's through Jesus that we came to faith. And it's as we stick with Jesus that we'll be perfected in our faith. It's Jesus who will see us through to the end. How? Because Jesus has done it all for us. Jesus endured the cross, the most humiliating, undeserved, cruel, and painful death. The insults, the flogging, the pain, the misery, the abandonment of his closest friends, the separation from his Father. Why? For the joy that was set before him. And what was the joy? Well, we see it at the end of the verse. For the joy of being seated at the right hand of God. Jesus supremely endured to the end as our perfect example of enduring faith in the Father, of trusting completely in his promises, of a life lived with all weight and sin cast to one side. And because of this life of perfect obedience, well, Jesus could offer the perfect once for all sacrifice. The joy set before Jesus was to be seated at the right hand of God. But not just that. The joy was for us to be there with him. Jesus told his disciples in John 14 that he's going to his Father's house to prepare a room for them. When Jesus prays in John 17, it's for us to be with him in his kingdom to see his glory. And Jesus knew for this to happen, he had to die for us so we could have our sins forgiven. So when Jesus died on the cross, he was thinking of you. When Jesus died on the cross, he was saying, "I love you so, so much." When Jesus died on the cross, he was proving how precious you are to him. And when Jesus died on the cross, he made a way for you to come into his kingdom. Jesus endured the cross for the joy of giving life eternal with him. And this happens as by faith, we trust his death paid for the forgiveness of our sin. Jesus endured the cross so we could join him in the heavenly city whose designer and builder is God. Jesus' reward is to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. Our reward is the Lord Jesus, which might seem counter-Christian to speak and think in terms of a reward because it's by grace we've been saved and it's completely undeserved. But there is a reward waiting for those who endure to the end. We gain the greatest prize on offer, the Lord Jesus. And we will dwell with him and all his saints for all eternity in his kingdom. We've escaped the eternal wrath our sin deserves. So what will help us endure to the end? What should our principal spiritual resolution be? What should we do more of in 2021 than anything else? Look to Jesus. Open up your Bible. Read the Gospels. Be like Mary in Luke chapter 10. Choose what is better. Spend time sitting at Jesus' feet and listening. Prioritize the Sunday morning gathering, no matter what format it takes. Join a fellowship group. Commit to one another. Maybe try to seek out others in the church family you can read your Bible with one-on-one. Point them to Jesus. And prioritize carving out time for yourself alone with your Bible. Read it and pray. And keep looking to Jesus day by day by day. Look at his life of perfection. See his perfect love of God. See his perfect love of others. His perfect love of you and me. Look to the cross and the death of the Lord Jesus to see this perfect love demonstrated, to see your sin is forgiven, to see God's anger at your sin has been satisfied, and entry to the heavenly city has been opened up. Wouldn't today be a great day to trust in Jesus for the very first time, to have entered this online meeting unforgiven, facing God's wrath, and to leave it forgiven, raised to life eternal, and a citizen of God's kingdom forever. What a way to end a year like 2020. But for Christians, today is also a great day to keep trusting in the Lord Jesus. And tomorrow is a great day to keep trusting in the Lord Jesus. And the next day, and the next day. Because if 2020 has taught us anything, it's this. We don't know what the world has in store for us. But we do know that life is fragile. And as I said earlier, the only thing that really matters on the day we die is this. Were you trusting in the Lord Jesus? Because answering yes or no to this, it's the very difference between eternal life and eternal judgment. And for all who trust in Christ, there's a race that's been set before us. So let us run it with endurance. Let us prioritize it. Let us work hard at being a church that prays for one another to endure. To be a church that rightly celebrates new converts, but recognizes this is just the start and is wholeheartedly focused on helping one another endure. So don't neglect to meet with one another. Keep pointing each other to the Lord Jesus. And in private, well, let's give ourselves every chance of making it to the end. How? By using the spiritual Green Cross code. Look, look, and look. So let's look at the footage of the previous runners. By looking to these Old Testament witnesses and being inspired that they were able to endure to the end. That despite what the world threw at them, they kept trusting God. They kept on trusting in what he said and promised. And let's do likewise. Make sure nothing prevents us from coming to his word. Nothing stops us going deeper and deeper with God and his promises. And then alongside that, let's look into our hearts. Hebrews is clear. Whilst running this race, we could get slowed down by weight or sin. So keep an eye on your heart. Clear out unhelpful weights that are distracting us from this race. Keep a watch on sin. Confess it and cut it out as soon as possible. And finally and supremely, keep looking to the Lord Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, our once and for all sacrifice, our reigning King, who loves us enough to endure the humiliation of the cross. So no matter what 2021 throws at us, brothers and sisters, keep looking to the Lord Jesus. Because whether the pandemic ends tomorrow or it never ends, for the Christian, the same future awaits. And it is glorious beyond compare. Eternity with the Lord Jesus and his people in his kingdom. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so, so much for your promises to us. Thank you for that for those who trust in the Lord Jesus, there is a better life and a better kingdom to come. Please help us to really trust in these promises so we endure to the end. And would we make use of the means you've given us to do so? Would we look to the Old Testament witnesses? Would we look into our own hearts? But supremely, would we look to the Lord Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith? So help us to work hard at prioritizing this spiritual Green Cross code throughout our days, for our good and for your glory. Amen.